Praise God that we get to gather together to worship our amazing and glorious God. Let us pray together before we dive into God's Word. Oh God, we come before you and your Word this morning, and we acknowledge that all of Scripture is breathed out by God. We believe that your word is truth and that you sanctify your people in your word. We believe that we should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. And so God, open up our ears and our hearts to receive your word this morning. And would we leave here worshiping you? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, please take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. John 5, 18 through 29 is what we're going to be looking at. Our words for kids this morning, I have two of them: life and judgment. Life and judgment. Well, this morning we're jumping back into our sermon series, working our way through the Gospel according to John. And just by way of reminder, we've been studying this Gospel because of easy believism, and we've been studying this Gospel because of making Jesus into our own image. In other words, like I've been saying, we've watered down what it truly means to believe, and we've made Jesus look a lot like ourselves. And this is why our theme for this series comes directly from John 20, verse 31, which actually John tells us is the purpose that he's writing this whole gospel. It's this: but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And my goal for all of us is to have that verse memorized by the time we're done going through the gospel of John. You're going to hear me say it an obnoxiously large amount of times. Now, it's been a few weeks since we've looked at the Gospel of John, so just a reminder of our context. At the beginning of John chapter 5, Jesus had just healed an invalid who was lame for 38 years, and then at the end of our passage, the Jews then were persecuting Jesus because he performed this miracle on the Sabbath. And Jesus concluded our passage last time in the Gospel of John by saying, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." So with that brief background in mind, let's look at this passage together, John 5, 18 through 29. Please stand as you are able for the reading of God's Word. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. This is God's holy word that cannot and therefore does not fail. You may be seated. In the 1980s and the 1990s, there was this group called the Jesus Seminar. And just to summarize what they did, they would take the teachings of the life and the ministry and even the words of Jesus, and they would work through it line by line, and they would decide together in terms of what was real and what was not real. And they had a color-coded system. Words in red indicated words that Jesus probably likely said or things that he did. Words in pink represented words that did actually or that possibly represented Jesus. Words in gray were things that Jesus probably said but were not sure. And then words in black were things that Jesus definitely did not say or do. And it's amazing as they went through this process that Jesus, at the end of it, ended up looking a lot like themselves. They ended up making Jesus into their own image. And specifically, their version of Jesus was not God. He didn't rise from the grave. He didn't perform miracles. He didn't die on the cross to save sinners. And he certainly isn't going to judge the living and the dead. Jesus came out looking like a good moral teacher and a good example. Now, I don't know what you're thinking when you hear about something like that, but I think it's kind of crazy that even a group of scholars would come together and color code the things that they think is true and the things that they think are not true. Now, I don't see any of us going through the Gospels and, you know, color coding what we think is true and what we think is not true. But nonetheless, we still need to be aware where we are making Jesus into our own image. We still have to be careful about what we believe about Jesus, and we need to make sure that what we believe and how we live about Jesus is based on all of what Scripture teaches. Because we don't get to decide or determine who Jesus is. Jesus does. And in our passage, in particular this morning, Jesus is going to boldly teach us that he is God. Jesus is God. And as God, there are two things that I want you to notice about in our passage as we work our way through. As God, he has the authority to give life. And as God, he has the authority to bring judgment. So Jesus is God. He has authority to bring life, and he has the authority to bring judgment. So notice those things as we work through our passage. He kind of keeps coming back to them, so I actually made a note to leave this, what is it called, a slide? Words. The slide on the up on the screen here so you can keep an eye out for these things as we work our way through. Okay. Our passage begins in verse 18. By telling us the context of what Jesus is about to say. Verse 18. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Now, as I said, Jesus had just performed an amazing miracle by healing an invalid. However, he performed this miracle on the Sabbath, and therefore the Jews were persecuting him. And then, as I said, Jesus responded to their persecution by saying, "My Father is working until now, and I also am working." Now, in this statement, Jesus is declaring that he is equal with God the Father. Even in that statement, Jesus is declaring that he is God. And that bold declaration from Jesus led these Jews from persecuting him to seeking to try to kill him. And so our passage and our passage next week, Lord willing, is Jesus responding to these Jews who are seeking to kill him. And so he begins his response in verse 19. "Truly, truly, I say to you, The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. So here we see the Son and the Father unified in their mission together. And this is actually an amazing verse, because in this verse we see both the distinction and the unity between God the Father and God the Son. God the Father is not God the Son, and God the Son is not God the Father. They are distinct in their person, but they are not two distinct gods. They are both equally God. God is three persons, one God. Now, the Spirit is a part of the Trinity, but the Spirit just isn't directly mentioned in our passage this morning. But these three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are the same in substance and equal in power and glory. Now, coming back to the Father and the Son are equal in their being, but they are distinct in their personhood in their role. And this makes the Father and the Son completely unified in creation and in salvation. The Father, he initiates, he sends, he commands, he commissions, he grants. And the Son, in perfect unity with the Father, he responds, he obeys, he performs his Father's will, and he receives his authority. The Son does nothing on his own. He only does what he sees the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, that the Son does also. They are completely unified in all that they do. Now Jesus continues in verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. The Father loves the Son with a love that our finite minds cannot even fully comprehend. And the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the motivation for God the Father sending God the Son to save sinners. In other words, God's love for us in Christ Jesus is rooted in the Trinity. And that makes God's love for you utterly unbreakable. And I pray that that gives you deep encouragement this morning. But out of love, the Father shows the Son all that he is doing. And therefore, as Jesus does all that the Father is showing him, we get to see who the Father is through Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus reveals who God the Father is. This is why later on in the Gospel of John, Jesus is going to say, anyone who has seen him, that's Jesus, has seen the Father. Jesus reveals the Father to us. And the Father is going to show Jesus greater miracles than healing this lame man, so that these Jews who are seeking to kill him, they are going to marvel at Jesus. These opponents of Jesus will one day stand in awe of him. And all opponents of Jesus will one day stand in awe of him. Because one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We don't get to decide or determine who Jesus is. Jesus is God, no matter what we believe. Now Jesus continues in verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. God the Father has the power to raise those who are dead back to life. And Scripture makes it clear that God and God alone has the power to bring the dead back to life. Deuteronomy 32:39 makes that very clear. And what Jesus is claiming here is that he has the same power. Jesus is claiming that both God the Father and God the Son have the power to raise the dead. And Jesus' point? He is God. He is God, and he has the power to give life to those whom he wills. And we see this power in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, where we saw in John chapter 3, whenever we were in John chapter 3, that the Spirit blows where he wills, causing people to be born again. We see this power at the tomb of Lazarus, where he's dead in the tomb, and Jesus cries out, Lazarus, come out. And at the powerful word of Jesus, Lazarus was brought back to life. Jesus is God, and he has the power to give life to those whom he wills. But Jesus also brings judgment. Look at verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The Father has given all judgment to the Son. God is the judge of all the earth, and he shall do what is right. And for all judgment to be given over to Jesus is another way of saying that Jesus is God. Now, we'll look at more about Jesus being God here in a few verses, but for now I want you to note that because Jesus is the divine judge, we are to honor him. Now, the word for honor here means to show high regard or to revere. It's kind of like if you've ever been in a courtroom and the judge comes in and they say, "All rise," and you stand in honor and respect of the judge. We are to honor and revere Jesus in this way because he is the divine judge. He is God. Beloved, do you honor Jesus as God? As evidenced by your desires or your thoughts or your words or your actions, do you honor him as God? Or is he just your buddy that you go to when you need help? Now, yes, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is our friend. But we must nuance this. Jesus is more than just a friend. Jesus is more than just a good moral teacher. Jesus is more than just a good example. He is God. He is the judge of all of the earth, and we are to honor him as such. Because the way that we honor the Son is the way that we honor the Father. And whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him and will be judged accordingly. Therefore, honor the Son as the divine judge. Now Jesus continues in verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Whoever hears the words of Jesus and believes in God the Father has eternal life. Now here Jesus is teaching us an important principle, and that is that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. A person must hear the word of Christ before they can believe. And this is why evangelism is so important and why we all must take part in this important mission. Because a person must hear the word before they can believe, and they must believe so that they can be saved. Now, in this verse, Jesus is talking about believing in God the Father. We've already looked at Jesus here is revealing God the Father to us. And in John 12:44, Jesus says that whoever believes in him believes in God the Father. Jesus is the way to the Father. And so to believe in the Father is to believe in the Son. And so putting these thoughts together, it's not enough just to hear the word. You must respond to it by faith. Faith in Christ is the only way that a person can be saved and given eternal life. Beloved, your baptism cannot save you and give you eternal life. Any sort of penance cannot save you and give you eternal life. Your good works cannot save you and give you eternal life. Going to church cannot save you and give you eternal life. It is only by grace, through faith in Christ, that a person can be saved. And this is not a result of our own works. It is the gift of God. It is faith in Christ is the only way that a person can be saved and given eternal life. And this is why the Gospel of John was written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So how do you know if you have true faith? How do you know if you are truly believing? Well, if you have faith, you will have life in his name. if you are truly believing, you will have eternal life. And that's what this passage is saying. You have eternal life. It's current and it's ongoing. It's life that starts now and will go on into eternity. And it says that you will not come into judgment, but you have passed from death to life, past tense. So if you're truly believing, that means you have passed from death to life. It means that you are alive to the things of God. Beloved, are you alive to the things of God? Do you have spiritual life in Christ? If so, then be encouraged. Be encouraged that in Christ you have eternal life. And let us not neglect to tell others about where they can find eternal life in Christ and in Christ alone. Now, Jesus continues in verses 25 and 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus is proclaiming that a time is coming where the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. But he says that time isn't just coming. He says that time is here. Jesus has ushered in an age where he, as the Son of God, has come and he has spoken words to bring life to people who are dead. The time is here that at the all-powerful Word of God, those who are dead in their trespasses can be made alive together with Christ. The time of salvation is here. It is now. But there is a time that is coming where he's going to judge the living and the dead, and we're going to see that here soon. But let us find our life in Christ before that glorious and dreadful day comes. Jesus is God, and he has life in himself, and he gives true life. And true life is found only in Christ Jesus. And therefore, let us live like the Apostle Paul who said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Oh, how I pray that for you to live is Christ. Oh, how I pray that for you, Christ would be your life. Oh, how I would pray that you see that you only live once. And that if you're not living for Christ, you're wasting your life. C.T. Studd says it this way: you have one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Live for Christ. Now he continues in verse 27. And he, that is the Father, has given him, the Son, authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man who has received authority from the Father to execute judgment. Now, we saw this title, Son of Man, before, and it refers back to Daniel chapter 7, where in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel saw a vision of one like a Son of Man who is given a kingdom and dominion and glory that will never be destroyed. In other words, the Son of Man refers to a king who has all the authority of God. Jesus is this king. Jesus is this Son of Man, and he has been given all the authority of God. He has been given all the authority to execute judgment. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And a time is coming where he will judge the living and the dead. Look at verses 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Now I imagine Jesus teaching this to these Jews who were seeking to kill him, that this would shock them. And I imagine the truth that Jesus is the judge who's coming to live to judge the living and the dead, I imagine that that's going to shock those of the Jesus seminar. I imagine that this truth is going to shock those who believe Jesus is only a good moral teacher and a good example. And I believe that this truth is going to shock even many people who profess to be Christians. But Jesus says, do not marvel at this. Do not be shocked at this. He says this because he is God, and he will execute judgment. He will. Don't be shocked at this, because an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come out, and they will stand before his judgment. Jesus is going to call out, and the dead will rise and face the judgment of Christ. And on that day, every human being who has ever died will enter into Christ's courtroom and will be judged for every sinful deed, whether it's desire or thought or word or action. It will be laid bare against you according to God's perfectly righteous standard. And remember that he knows all things and that he sees all things, and there will be no piece of evidence that will be missing. On that day, who will not tremble? And I want you to imagine yourself standing before the all-authoritative king who has the power to execute judgment. Imagine standing before his throne, and I want you to imagine him laying every sin that you have ever committed in your entire life against you. How many times do you think that you've sinned in your life? There's no way that we would even be able to count it. And I want you to imagine standing before the living Christ, and he asks you, you're clearly guilty. On what basis should I forgive you? You cannot say on that day that at one point in your life you were sprinkled with water. You cannot say at one point in your life you went under the waters of baptism, even here. You cannot say that your good outweighed your bad. You cannot say that you did this good thing or this nice thing. You cannot say that I had good intentions in my heart. You cannot base it on anything that you have done. The only thing that you can say is, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The only thing that you can say is, I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Lord Jesus, I throw myself on you. I believe in you, Lord Jesus. It is only by grace through faith in Christ that a person can be forgiven. Beloved, is there anything more deadly serious than this? I plead with you to come to the end of yourself this morning. I plead with you to stop basing your salvation on your own works. Turn away from your self-righteousness and come to Christ by faith. Turn away from your sin and pledge your allegiance to Christ. Repent and believe the gospel. Because those who have done good will experience the resurrection to life, and those who have done evil will experience the resurrection to judgment. Now, the resurrection of life is when our body and souls will be reunited, and we will dwell in the new creation for all of eternity. And it's going to be greater than we can possibly imagine. Jesus is going to wipe away every tear from our eye. And there's going to be no more death or mourning or crying or pain anymore. In the presence of Jesus, there's going to be the fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. We can't even describe how amazing that is going to be. Let us look forward to hope with that if you are a believer. But this passage goes on to say, talk about the resurrection of judgment. And the resurrection of judgment is when the body and soul of unbelievers will be reunited and they will burn in the lake of fire forever and ever. And Jesus, who is God, makes it clear here and in many places elsewhere that hell is real. And hell is worse than we can possibly understand, because God is more righteous than we know and our sin is more terrible than we know. Hell is real. And this is either true or Jesus is a lunatic. Those who have done good will experience the new creation, and those who have done evil will experience hell. Now, those who have done good here does not describe the cause of salvation, but the marks of those who have been saved. In other words, if you have truly been saved by faith, you will do good. It's not that you know what good is or that you talk about being good. It's that you do it, because faith without works is dead. Is your faith alive? As evidenced by your life, are you doing good? Are you growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Are you being transformed by Christ? This is not about perfection, but it's about new life in Christ. It's about your affections or your loves being changed. True love or true faith will result in good works. And if you have evidence of this in your life, then you can have confidence before God. And I pray that this confidence gives you deep encouragement this morning as we think about the resurrection to life for those who believe in Christ Jesus. And I also pray that as you're encouraged, that this would give us great urgency in our evangelism, because people are dying and they're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We got to tell them. They need Christ. But if you're here this morning and you have no evidence of faith that is alive, then you cannot have any confidence before God. And I urge you to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Because those who have done good will experience the new creation, the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil will experience the resurrection of judgment. We don't get to decide or determine who Jesus is. Jesus is God, no matter what we believe. And as God, he has the authority to give life, and he has the authority to bring judgment. So let us honor him, and let us believe in him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in it. And I pray that we would stand in awe of you, for you are God. You have the authority to bring life. You have the authority to give judgment. And I pray that we would live in you, that we would experience this life that you give, eternal life that starts at the moment a person is saved. And God, I pray that you would help us to see that one day everyone will stand before your throne. And I pray that you would give us urgency in sharing the gospel with others, because it is a deadly serious matter. So equip us, encourage us in the gospel, and then send us out, O Lord. For we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.